Situated in pure goodness, Dridha, firm, Mati, consciousness. Translation of Ritra Sura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. For a part, King Indra wondered how Ritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlada Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Ritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder that Ritrasura was such an elevated devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. Translation: a person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? Ritrasura had formerly prayed na nakam krishtam na cha parameshtyam sarva homam na rasada patyam. I do not want the facilities for happiness on Brahma Loka, Svarga Loka, or Dhruva Loka, not to speak of this earth or lower planets. I simply want to return home back to Godhead. This is the determination of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is never attracted to any exalted position within this material world. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani, the gopis, Krishna's father and mother, Krishna's friends, Krishna's servants. He wants to associate with Krishna's atmosphere and of Vrindavan beauty. These are the highest ambitions of a devotee of Krishna. Devotees of Lord Vishnu may aspire for a position in Vaikuntha Loka, but a devotee of Krishna never aspires even for the facilities of Vaikuntha. He wants to return to Goloka Vrindavan and associate with Lord Krishna in his eternal pastimes. Any material happiness is like water in a ditch, whereas spiritual happiness eternally enjoyed in the spiritual world is like an ocean of nectar in which a devotee wants to swim. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Ritrasura and King Indra spoke about devotional service even on the battlefield, and then, as a matter of duty, began fighting. My dear king, both of them were great fighters and were equally powerful. O Maharaj Pariksit, Ritrasura, who was completely able to subdue his enemy, took his iron club, whirled it around, aimed it at Indra, and then threw it at him with his left hand. With his thunderbolt named Shataparavan, Indra simultaneously cut off Ritrasura's club and his remaining hand. Ritrasura, bleeding profusely, his two arms cut off at the roots, looked very beautiful, like a flying mountain whose wings have been cut to pieces by Indra. Purport, it appears in his statement that sometimes there are flying mountains and their wings are cut by the thunderbolt of Indra. Ritrasura's huge body resembled such a mountain. Ritrasura was very powerful in physical strength and influence. He placed his lower jaw on the ground and his upper jaw in the sky. His mouth became very deep like the sky itself, and his tongue resembled a large serpent. With his fearful death-like teeth, he seemed to be trying to devour the entire universe. Thus, assuming a gigantic body, the great king Ritrasura shook even the mountains and began crushing the surface of the earth with his legs, as if he were the Himalayas walking about. He came before Indra and swallowed him, and Airavata, his carrier, just as a big python might swallow an elephant. But the demigods, along with Brahma, other Prajapatis, and other great saints, saw that Indra had been swallowed by the demon. They became very morose. Alas, said the man, what a calamity, what a calamity. The protective armor of Narayana, which Indra possessed, was identical with Narayana himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protected by that armor and by his own mystic power, King Indra, although swallowed by Ritrasura, did not die within the demon's belly. With this thunderbolt, Indra, who was also extremely powerful, pierced through Ritrasura's abdomen and came out. Indra, the killer of the demon Bala, then immediately cut off Ritrasura's head, which was as high as the peak of a mountain. Although the thunderbolt revolved around Ritrasura's neck with great speed, separating his head from his body, took one complete year, 360 days of time, in which the sun, moon, and other luminaries complete a northern and southern journey. Then, at a suitable time for Ritrasura to be killed, his head fell to the ground. When Ritrasura was killed, the Gandharvas and Siddhas and heavenly flames beat kettle drums in jubilation. With Vedic hymns, they celebrate the prowess of Indra, the killer of Ritrasura, praising Indra and showering flowers upon it with great pleasure. O King Pariksit, should do our enemies the living spark that came forth from the Ritrasura's body and returned back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Krishna. or Parsha, the Vishnu by Thakur explains that Indra, not Vritrasura, was actually killed. He says that when Vritrasura swallowed King Indra and was carried the elephant, he thought, now I have killed Indra, and therefore there is no more need of fighting. Now let me return back to Godhead. Then he stopped all his bodily activities and became situated in trance. Taking advantage of the silence of Vritrasura's body, Indra pierced the demon's abdomen, and because of Vritrasura's trance, Indra was able to come home. Now Vritrasura was in yoga, samadhi, and therefore, although King Indra wanted to cut his throat, the demon's neck was so stiff that Indra's thunderbolt took 360 days to cut to pieces. Actually, it was the body left by Vritrasura that was cut to pieces by Indra. Vritrasura himself was not killed. In his original consciousness, Vritrasura returned home back to God and became an associate of Lord Shankar's son. Here the word Alokam means the transcendental world by Kunta Loka, where Shankar's son, eternal resides. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Purport of 6th canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam titled Vritrasura's Glorious Death. So this concludes the battle. We see that Vritrasura spoke, Indra spoke, and Indra actually glorifies Vritrasura for his devotion. And in this particular verse, he expresses a surprise that though Vritrasura has a demon body, he has developed the mentality of a devotee. So that does not happen by itself. There must be a cause. So the cause is nothing material. It is not caused by sattva guna or whatever. The only cause is devotees, devotee association, or the Lord's association. So how did Vritrasura develop that? Because he was born in a demon body and a demon family. How is it possible? So the answer is that previous lifetime he had very good association, and it's due to that association, even with Sankarsana himself, that he got this devotional consciousness. So he was a devotee in previous life due to association with devotees from the Lord, and in this lifetime also, in spite of the demon body, that continued. So in other words, the demonic body caused by curses or whatever did not affect the development of the Atma. Whatever he had accomplished in the Atma stayed with him, in spite of the fact that the body was in a Rajasic Tamasic body of Manasura. So that did not in any way affect his devotion. So it manifested very surprisingly in spite of his demon body. So in other words, the bhakti can manifest anywhere. It is not restricted by time, place, or whatever, and not restricted by any conditions. So it can appear in any person at any time. But the cause is the mercy of devotees and the Supreme Lord. So it may be happening in this lifetime, or it may happen in a previous lifetime, as in the case of Vritrasura. But in any case, the cause is devotees and the Supreme Lord's mercy. So if that is there, then if bhakti develops, it's not surprising at all. Sometimes it will not manifest immediately. It may manifest after some time. So there may be some obstacles. When the obstacles are removed, then suddenly the person in this lifetime manifests the bhakti. Not from the beginning of life, but maybe even later on in life. So some obstacles to finally overcome, then that manifests. Of course, that means previous lifetimes affect this manifesting at a certain point in this lifetime. So it doesn't look like there is a cause, perhaps, but actually the cause is traced back to a previous lifetime. So this is a confirmation of the power of bhakti, as expressed in Bhagavad Gita, Neha Vikrama Sasi Pratyavaya Navijate. It cannot be decreased or destroyed. And even though the devotee has another lifetime or whatever, it is not destroyed. Karma is destroyed by experience. If we do punyas, then we get good karma and go to Svargaloka, we enjoy Svargaloka, but then that's exhausted by the experience. Then we fall down again, and that punya is lost. So punya gets exhausted by enjoying the results. Bhakti does not get exhausted in that way. We do bhakti next lifetime, we do bhakti, and we do more bhakti. It doesn't exhaust the previous bhakti. It simply increases. It goes on increasing. So in that way, bhakti is not expended under normal circumstances. On the other hand, if aparadhas are committed, then this is a way in which whatever bhakti is accomplished can be diminished or destroyed. So that is why there is such warning given for the aparadhas, especially the non-aparadhas. If these are committed, then there is some bad effect. So all those that we have a Vaishnava aparadha, that is sadhu ninda, criticizing the Vaishnava. So even with words it is bad, what to speak of, physical or whatever, violence, much, much worse. But even criticizing is very, very bad. It has an effect upon one's bhakti. So this is one of the major causes of either slowness of bhakti, or how bhakti stops, or diminishing of bhakti, or destruction of bhakti. It often takes place through aparadhas, especially the Vaishnava aparadha. So we should not think that bhakti is there forever. There are circumstances with aparadha where it can diminish or be destroyed also. But it is not subject to the same type of destruction as the results of karma in the material world. So the effect continues life after life and gradually builds up until the point that one can reach perfection. So therefore there's nothing lost in the execution of bhakti if you do it properly. So in the story of Rajasura we see that his bhakti continued from previous lifetime into this lifetime, and then what was the perfection? Perfection was he simply got rid of that body. And then he went to the spiritual world. Which means, even in his previous lifetime, he actually had gone and had achieved quite a very high standard. Because how is it possible for him to go to the spiritual world after being in a demon body? Normally not possible. You have to take another human body, etc. You see, Bharat took a deer body, then he took a human body, then he got his perfection. Here we see Vrishasura, even in the demon body, that was his thing, and perfection. So, the position of Vrishasura in his previous body is Chitraketu, that was very high position. So that he didn't have to take another body after the demon body at all. So from this we also understand the demon body was just some sort of temporary covering. And it really didn't obstruct his bhakti at all. Which goes to show the greatness of bhakti. It was not at all influenced by the demon body that he had. It was completely intact, and it qualified him for the spiritual world. So in this way, bhakti is very, very powerful, and it is permanently established in the jiva. So this story is, though it is not, of course, as famous as Krishna's pastimes, or even Rishima's or Rama's pastimes, still it is celebrated to some degree, and therefore, in mention of the, I think it's in another Purana, Matsya Purana, I think, it mentions Bhagavatam, and then it describes Bhagavatam as having the story of Rishasura in it, the killing of Rishasura. Rishasura's story has some fame behind it because he went to the spiritual
also part of the sixth canto. And Sridhar Swami and also Vishwanath Chakravarti compare the different cantos to the different subjects of the Bhagavatam, for instance, Srishti and Sarga and Visarga, third canto and fourth canto, Poshanam and Stiti, fifth canto, geography. The fifth canto is Poshanam, which means protection, literally nourishment, so how the Lord protects the devotee. So then, this canto has two stories at Brahma, and that is Ajamil's story, in which the name protected Ajamil, in spite of the fact he wasn't even a devotee. And then he also went to Vaikuntha eventually. And the story of Chitraketu, demon, became a demon, but still he was a devotee, etc. And of course, the Lord also protected Indra by arranging for him to get back his kingdom, etc. But he also guaranteed the success of Chitraketu, even though he had a demon body or whatever, he went to the spiritual world. So these are two examples of protection of the Lord in the sixth canto. So the story is famous for that reason also. So therefore we cannot actually judge a person's bhakti by the body at all. And as Indra says, yes, it is very surprising that he has a demon body, but he is a great devotee of the Lord. So one can never tell. So that of course is also a warning, especially for very advanced devotees. If they're in bhava and prema, as also said, one cannot predict their activities. So therefore one cannot judge their activities at all. So one may criticize and say the devotee is doing this and that. But if he's a prema bhakta, one cannot criticize him. Because his activities are not bound by scripture at all. So there's a saying that don't criticize Nityananda if he goes into the liquor house. If he goes into the liquor shop, what does he do there? Of course, he preaches. But the activities of an exalted devotee may not conform to our normal standards at all. So therefore we may criticize them, say they're not devotees or whatever, but we don't know. So we have to be very, very careful. And here in the case of Ritrasura, a demon body, and people can reject him as being a big demon. We see the description here, he's a huge mouth swallowing the sky, and he swallowed Indra even. So he had a very ferocious appearance. But actually, when he spoke, he had knowledge as a devotee, very great knowledge. And then he actually went to the spiritual world. So he was actually, the body was just a disguise, so to speak, or a temporary phenomenon. Could not in any way destroy or interrupt his bhakti at all, which reveals the great power of devotion. If he has aparadha, well, whatever aparadha is committed is serious, then his bhakti may decrease. If his bhakti decreases, then whatever small amount of bhakti is there, that will continue in the next lifetime. If it is completely destroyed, then it starts with zero in the next lifetime. That's what depends on the position. Now, of course, it's always recommended that you get out of the offense. If one commits these aparadhas, then one has to atone for that. But the atonement is chanting the name of the Lord. Why didn't go to Krishna? Oh, he's a devotee of Sankarshan. He saw Sankarshan in his previous lifetime.
Well, in this case, Vidasu committed. Joshua in mind, but as Parvati would be.
And Chitraketu. Yeah, Chitraketu, Parvati was offended by his criticism.
So, but Maharaj, in his case, his bhakti was not checked that way. I mean, he got another body then, so on.
Well, that was his offense, I guess. The result of his offense, he had to get a demon body. But it didn't really decrease his bhakti, which means he was at a very high stage of bhakti then. And it wasn't intentional, we could say also.
Maharaj, follow Jesus Christ or Muhammad properly, he also did the spiritual.
It's not clearly stated. It would depend on the particular case of that person and their sincerity. Because some of them may have personal ideas, some may be impersonalists, we don't know. What is their final result? It depends on what they're focusing on. If they focus on impersonal, then maybe they go to impersonal. If they focus on personal, then. But what is that personal God? What form? It's not very clearly defined. So therefore, where do they go? Maybe they take another birth, and then they get a more particular form in that birth in which they concentrate. Well, it depends, as I said, on what they concentrate on. Huh? If they have a clear conception of their form of God or whatever, then they will go there. But most of them, unfortunately, don't. They don't have a particular form of God or whatever. So therefore, then maybe they have to take another birth in the material world and progress from there.
Was he
at
prema level?
Had to be, because I couldn't go to the spiritual world without prema.
And Maharaj, this verse, Neha Vikram Nashwasti, what actually, it refers to other yoga systems also?
Well, we find at the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna talks about the fallen yogi, and he was born in a good family or whatever like that. So one could take that as yoga or whatever. As well as bhakti yoga. So there may be some influence that carries over for yogis and whatnot. There's also a difference because if one is in jnana, for instance, and one is established in jnana, and then one does sinful activity, that is very harmful to the progress of jnana. Because jnana is destroying the ahankara and the vasanas, etc. And if one goes back into the activities of sinful activity, obviously, then you negate whatever jnana you've got. So it is very directly affects the progress of jnana. The same does not happen in bhakti to the same degree, because we say that even the sinful activity is still my devotee. So there's a difference there, just the effects of different things on their progress. But obviously, we can say that it says that after many lives, the yogi gets its perfection, so it must continue life after life also. And the same with jnana or whatever, or even karma. You keep on doing karma.
Maharaj, can you say that these yoga processes cannot succeed unless there is a little bit of bhakti?
Has to be bhakti.
Is it possible that this Neha Vikram actually refers to that little bhakti which actually continues across the births, not really the progress in the process?
Well, it could be both, because not only the bhakti would continue, but also if they're jnanis, for instance, then to perfect jnana, then they have to keep going in that direction. So then they have to have that idea about Brahman, birth after birth, or yoga or whatever. And it's obviously the vasanas continue, so therefore they're memories of their preferences in previous life that will continue in the next life back.
Narantara Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai Narasimha Maharaj Ki Jai Narasimha Maharaj Ki Jai Narasimha Maharaj Ki.